Let's read together God's life-giving and life-strengthening word, the opening words of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, we'll read verses 1 through 20. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 20, you'll find that on page 1501, 1501 in your pew Bibles. Now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." I invite you to keep your Bibles open, brothers and sisters, as we look at verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. May he bless us by this good word of God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, the new has come. Anyone who belongs to Jesus Christ is new, completely new. You have a new identity in Christ. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. You have a new purpose to be visible on a lampstand. And you have a new calling to shine the light of Christ before all the world. To belong to Jesus Christ is to be a new creation and to be given a whole new life. And that's the newness of life in Christ that is described for us in these words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Let's read them again. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Christ's followers are visible to the world. Christ's followers are visible to the world. We want to ask three questions this morning. What is the light? What is the bowl? And what is the lampstand? What is the light? You are the light of the world. You, Seth, Dave, Jason, Vera, Johanna, you, followers of Jesus Christ, you, Church of the Living God, you are the light of the world, not a light. one of many different kinds of light. You are the light of the world, the only light. The only light in the world that shows the true way to God. The only light in the world that shows the way to life and salvation is found in the followers of Jesus. That might sound bigoted to us in our culture. The only light? But that's what Jesus means by you are the light. And that has nothing to do with how great we are, but how great and awesome and truthful Jesus is, who made us light. Because he is the light of the world first. We're not bragging about ourselves when we say we are the light of the world. We're bragging about Jesus. There's no other Savior. There's no other true light that leads sinners the whole world around to God and eternal life. Only him. He's the light of the world first. He said that. I am the light of the world. John 8. Even in Matthew 4, just before the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at verses 15 and 16, we read that when Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, teaching the way of God and doing miracles, a light had dawned. The people in darkness, walking in darkness, have seen a great light. You are the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, assumes a great miracle has happened to your life and mine, because we, by nature, are darkness. We're filled with sin. We do not know God. We're ignorant of God and his ways. We're addicted to doing our own ways and following our own pleasures. We're closed to God and closed to all that is truly good. We're darkness. And then something amazing happened. God, in his great love for a world lost in darkness, sent his Son, the true light. And that true light, Jesus, has come into contact with us. And as he spoke to us and showed God to us in his life and his character, in his death and resurrection, in his word, something amazing happened. The light of God shone in our dark hearts to make us light. We're sort of like those glow-in-the-dark objects. You have this dark thing that's got no light in it. And then you put it in the sunlight. And it energizes, it awakens, makes alive the phosphors inside and makes them shine. Well, that's the way, that's the miracle that has happened to us. You are the light of the world. Why? We're just derivative light. But Jesus is the original light. We were living in darkness, but God mercifully sent his Son Jesus, the light of the world, to light up our lives by his truth and holiness and righteousness. And if you're still living in darkness and you don't know the true God and you don't know his word, then I urge you, come into contact with Jesus. Come to know him, the light of the world. Open your heart and mind to his word and will. And he will do an amazing thing in your life. He will turn you from darkness into light. That's what Jesus will do for you. You are the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, has changed us, given us a new identity. And you read of that identity when you go through the Beatitudes. What do we look like as lights? The poor in spirit, those who mourn over their sins. They were easily touched by the reality of sin, and we repent before God. That's what it is to be light. Blessed are the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what it is to be light. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted because of righteousness. You are the light of the world, but like glow-in-the-dark objects, our light doesn't come from ourselves. Brothers and sisters, you've just made profession of faith. Our light doesn't come from ourselves, but like that glow-in-the-dark object, you need to keep bringing that thing back into the sunlight to re-energize those phosphors and to keep that light going and growing. Stay in close contact with the light of the world, Jesus. Especially by using the means of grace, joining with his family and worshiping him and hearing him speak to you and using the sacraments. but also by daily being in His Word and in prayer. Stay in contact with Jesus so that the light of the world that you are keeps getting re-energized and burning brighter and brighter. Those who confess the name of Christ but then pull away from Jesus will not continue to shine. They will lose their light because Jesus is the light of the world, who has made us the light of the world and continues to make us the light of the world, a city set on a hill. One more thing about that. We are the light of the world as Christ's covenant community. Have you ever thought about that? That's your identity, brothers and sisters. You are your neighbor's light. You are your neighbor's light. You say, well, they have Jesus. No, they don't. The light of the world has gone back to heaven, Jesus, and He has appointed us to be His representatives. You are your neighbor's light. You are the nation's light. It's you. Do we see that? Do we believe that? Do we understand that? That's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. What is the light? Secondly, what is the bowl? Jesus goes on to say, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And then verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Jesus moves from our identity, you are the light, to our purpose. He moves from who we are to why we are. A light is meant to be visible. Imagine the electricity goes out in the middle of the night. We need a candle. So you get a candle. You stumble through the darkness. You find the candle. You get a match. Strike it. Light the candle. And then you say to your son, okay, now get the bowl. Let's put it over this candle so that this light doesn't get hurt. Dumb. Foolish. Jesus said, neither do people light a lamp and put it. People just don't do that because it makes no sense. That's not why you put on a light. But that's often what we as Christians do. The very thing that makes no sense, that Jesus would make us lights, His light, the light of the world, and then we grab for a bowl and put it over us, try to hide the city on a hill that we are and the light of the world that we are. People just don't do that, said Jesus. But yes, as Christians, we often do. What is the bowl that we often grab to hide the light? I'll mention three things. We hide the light through worldliness. When we think and when we behave like the world, then there's little or no difference between us and the world. And then there's no light shining. But there's something even worse happening. We're adding to the darkness. What a terrible thing to do with the new life, the new character, the new hope, the new truth that Jesus gave to us by dying and rising, to take that and cover it by worldliness, by adding to the darkness around us. How sad when we who profess the name of Jesus actually add to the darkness. When we're lazy at work, or lazy at school, or disrespectful of people around us. When we're rude, when we join in the crude talk at work or on the bus. When we speak evil of others, when we live immoral lives. When we live as if we are the most important people in our own lives, we ourselves, we're hiding Christ from others. By living in sin, we do even worse than cover the light. We add to the darkness and we make the world a worse place. When Jesus saved us to make the world a better place, we hide the light through worldliness. We hide the light through fear. There, I'll put myself especially in that second category. Worldly? Not really. I try to keep my nose clean. Fearful? There have been many times in my life, especially in my teens and early 20s, when my main goal was to not be recognized, not be obvious as a Christian. Good? A good person? In my thoughts, anyway. But not obvious person, obviously a Christian. Sort of somewhere in the middle. Well, that's as wicked as hiding the light in any other way. Remember that atheist I mentioned some time ago who said the hardest thing that he has is to respect a Christian who does not proselytize, who does not share his faith with non-Christians. It's the hardest thing, said this atheist, for me to respect. Because you Christians, you firmly believe that you have the way to life. And not to be on that way is to be going to hell. And when you see somebody going to hell, that you don't do all you can to warn them and to show them the way of life, how much do you have to hate a person to believe you have the way to life and not tell others? In fear, hide a lot. Think of how many people walk into our lives on a regular basis. The client, the custom worker, the person at the counter in the store, the salesman. Think of how many people regularly, the next door neighbor, regularly walk into our lives. Have you ever yet had an open conversation with Jesus about Jesus with that person? Or do you stay away from the subject of your faith? We hide the light through fear, and thirdly, we hide the light through isolation. That we simply stay away from the world and do our level best to avoid all contact with non-Christians. And we avoid getting to know our neighbors. Many of us do not even know the names of our neighbors. Now, God does call us to separation from the world. The Bible's clear on that. By separation, we mean that we live very different lives from the world. We have very different beliefs and very different goals. And we treat our husbands and wives in a very different way. And train our children in a very different worldview. And do our work in a very different way. And relate to our money and possessions in a very different way. And treat our enemies in a very different way. We're definitely, through Christ the light, separated, but not isolated, where we have little or no contact with those who don't know Christ. But sometimes we basically know only Christians and have no real associations, friendships with non-Christians. And then we hide the light. What is the bowl? Will you throw off the bowl? Will you keep it away from the light that you are in Christ? The light of the world, Jesus, died on the cross and rose again, and he ascended, and now we're his ambassadors, we're his representatives to shine locally and globally the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, what is the lampstand? When we put a bowl over the light that we are, we do not shine and then we become part of the darkness. No, said Christ. Instead, what do people do? Verse 15, people light a lamp to put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The average home in those days was a one-room house. And one light in the room would light up the entire room so all could see. Now, if they chose to close their eyes, that was another matter. But would light up the entire room so all could see. There was usually a stone projected from one of the walls, and the candle would be placed on that stone as the lampstand, so everybody in the house could see. And so Jesus moves from our identity, who we are, the light of the world, and our purpose to be visible, not to be hidden, to our calling. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. The same way, says Jesus, that a person puts the light on its stand in order to give light to all in the house, so we must be out there in this world shining the light of Christ before men. That word before is important. In the same way, let your light shine before men, the word men meaning mankind, the most general word for human beings. Let your light shine before means in front of, in the presence of. Shining the truth, the righteousness, the holiness, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to the world, so that when they see us, They see the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They see the Bible on display. And that means a life of deed and word. Not word and deed, but deed and word. Deeds come first. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Let them see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The character of the Beatitudes, that you are poor in spirit, that you mourn over your sin. You're not one to always defend yourself no matter what and put the blame on somebody else. That you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that you're meek, you let others go first. And you're merciful and you seek peace. And you're ready to follow Christ, and even if it means persecution. Those are the deeds. The purity of the commandments. What kind of life shows Jesus most? And here in our evangelical culture of Christianity, we're running stuck. What kind of deeds, good deeds, shows Jesus most? Well, as you continue through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the answer. It's simply a life of following the Ten Commandments. He begins to explain the meaning of "you shall not murder." It means don't be angry with your brother. Love your enemies. Don't go around insulting people. And what does it mean not to commit adultery? Don't even look at a woman lustfully in your heart. And he goes on to describe a life of the Ten Commandments. Because people today think, I can love and I can show Jesus and make up my own commandments and ignore the commandments of Jesus. I can show and tell Jesus and be angry with my brother and not be willing to be reconciled. I can show and tell the way of Jesus and live with my boyfriend, my girlfriend, live in sexual sin. I can show and tell the way of Jesus and just ignore the Lord's day and say it's my day to do what I want. But the key way of being on the lampstand and showing and telling the way of Jesus and letting our light shine is by His grace and the power of the Spirit to live a life of the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments is Jesus' own perfection and beauty. He lived that life Himself. And when we live that life, there's no more powerful way to show Jesus than that. And there's no witness like the power of a transformed life, brothers and sisters. And then when we live a life of good deeds, we're called also to explain our good deeds, to talk, deed and word. So they know that this does not come from me, this light, but from Jesus, the light of the world. Light of the world by darkness slain. I was darkness. I chose darkness, the darkness of sin. And I was headed for the darkness of eternal damnation. But God in His love sent His Son Jesus to enter my darkness. He, the light of the world, entered my darkness, was slain by my darkness, my sin. And He went through eternal hell when the infinite wrath of God pressed the life out of Him and destroyed Him. And He did that for me, the one who's darkness, so that I could become His light and live with God forever. That's the good news. That's the light the world needs to see and hear. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds, and other places would add, and hear your good news. It's deed and word. And so they might come to glorify your Father who is in heaven. That as you shine the light, the darkness in them will be exposed. There's a problem in my life. I'm not right with God. I'm not ready to die. But they'll have more than darkness exposed as you live the life of Christ in their midst. They'll sometimes feel judged by you. Not that you're being judgmental, but they'll feel judged because you're living that separate life right in the thick of this world. And they'll feel that difference. But not only that, we expose them, but direct them to the remedy. You know what? I was darkness too. I was under the wrath of God too. And God sent Jesus for me and for you to save you from that darkness. come to him, the light of the world, and he will take away your darkness and your sin and turn you into light so that you can shine and you can be God's children, holding forth the word of life in a wicked and perverse generation. What an identity! And what a purpose! And what a calling has been given to us! What a great life! There's no life like it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the glorious work that you have done in our lives to make us the light of the world. We were once darkness, but you have made us light. Help us then to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. Father, we pray that you will give us grace to shine the light near and far and show the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere. May our lights burn more and more brightly. Hold us close to yourself, Jesus, so the light does not grow dim. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.